Amen. We're glad if you're watching us online. I don't know why, but Wednesday night we had like three times as many people watch that program as normally do. Have no idea why. So maybe if you didn't see that, you ought to go back and watch it for some reason. But it really did. It was well, almost 700 people now up to. Glory to God. But by the way, you know, as we support life, and we do support life, can you say amen? Amen. Thank you. She talked about us supporting them since 2009, but you know, that's when it became New Hope Pregnancy Center. Before that, it was the Crisis Pregnancy Center. And that goes all the way back to the 80s. And actually, the first director of the Crisis Pregnancy Center was a member of Cleveland Christian Fellowship back in the 80s. And in those days, it was mostly an advocacy group that, you know, spoke against abortion and tried to, you know, make people aware of the fact that babies are still being killed in the womb and so forth. As time went on and on and on, you know, it's one thing to identify the problem and cry out against sin. It's another thing to give a solution. They developed and got stronger and stronger and began to offer solutions. In other words, here's a solution. Here's what you can do, you know. And so now they counsel people and help people and explain things to them. And they also begin to do sex education. They also begin to do ministry to people who had an abortion, you know, and minister to them and to minister the love of God and forgiveness to them and so forth. So they have grown for a long time, but we've actually been a part of that movement going all the way back to the 80s. Amen. And so, you know, we hear about COVID and all the things it does, but, you know, the number of babies that are aborted worldwide on a daily basis far, 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 far exceeds anything we see with COVID or any other sickness or disease. And if we believe these babies are really alive in the womb, then that's an awesome thing. But we continue to stand for righteousness and to trust God and believe God. Can you say amen? Amen. And offer the answer. Not just identify the problem, but offer the answer. Jesus Christ and His love and mercy and compassion. Hey, kalamono soto ba di sadala mana satala vamana stoko ba. E shetiriam baka ron sodola vabaka rande. Utu ba kisi atala monoto kasata lamanoto lamanasa telebedete. And here is your line, saith the Lord, particularly those of you that are watching online right now. A healing anointing is coming into your room, whether you're in your bedroom or your living room or in your car, wherever you're at. The healing power of God. There are people that are watching online that need a healing touch, and the healing power of God is coming into your room. Just reach up and say, I accept that. I receive that. I need that healing touch. I accept that healing touch. And the power of God will come on you and just rejoice and be glad, for I am your Father and I love you and I heal you right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. Suddenly, out of nowhere. That's how the Holy Ghost works sometimes. Can you say amen? Amen. I believe that you have ears to hear this morning. Always pray that you have ears to hear. I believe that, always pray and believe that you take the word to heart. It doesn't just go in one ear and go out the other. That you really, really listen. That you really, really take the word of God to heart. That you really understand it. And the bottom line purpose is so that you are a doer of the word that you hear. But this morning, I'm especially believing, so I want you to hook up with me, that you have ears to hear this morning and that you listen intently and hear what's being said. Can you say amen? How many of you are going to hook up with me? Amen. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 8. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 8. We started a message last Sunday called The Spirit of Offense. This will be part 2. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 8. It says, and above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Amen. Joyce Meyer said, Satan uses the spirit of offense as bait or as a trap to draw people into bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness, and I'll add strife. See, often ruining relationships for a lifetime. Offenses hinders your faith, love, peace, and joy, all of which are vital ingredients to the victorious Christian life. In other words, if you're going to you know, be offended and operate in offense and not walk in love toward others, then it's going to hinder your faith. It's going to hinder your love. It's going to hinder your peace. It's going to hinder your and when those things are hindered, then you're not going to walk in victory like God wants you. He wants to bless. But, you know, God always wants to bless and help people, but sometimes He can't. Sometimes He's limited. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, if you just read Psalms, it says they limited the Holy One of Israel. Amen. So yes, God can be limited by our doubt and by our unbelief and by our not cooperating with Him. She says, so all of which are vital ingredients to the victorious Christian life, now is the time for you to make the decision to major in love and minor in offense. And we said to you last week that every Christian, we've been saying this, I said last year for over 40 years and trying to make it sound big, I was trying to say half a century. I said half a decade, but I meant half a century. Sounds bigger when you say it that way, don't you? And we've been saying that for almost half a century. Amen. I'm younger than I look. I'm older than I look. Maybe something, I don't know. We've been saying that for a long time, that every Christian should major in walking in love. Amen. And there ought to be a specific time where we make a conscious decision and commitment that I'm going to major in walking in love. And because I'm majoring in walking in love, we make this same commitment and conscious decision, I'm never going to hold any unforgiveness against anybody. I absolutely refuse to allow the poison of unforgiveness to get in me and hurt me. And because I'm going to walk in love, not only am I not going to be easily offended and I'm not going to take any offense, I'm going to strive not to cause offense. In other words, I'm not going to do anything that hurts or harms another person. You know, Romans 13 says, love does no harm or does no wrong or does no ill to its neighbor. Amen. So I'm not going to take offense and I'm not going to give offense. And so we said to you last week, we're approaching this particular message this way. We said love does three things. Number one, love doesn't take offense. It doesn't take offense. In other words, it always forgives. Number two, love strives not to cause offense, you know. And then number three, love is not offended by the truth. Can you say amen? And that's why I chose 1 Peter 4:8 as our main text today, because it covers so much of what we're looking at in this particular message. 1 Peter 4:8, again from the Amplified Classic Version, says, above all things, have intense and unfailing love for one another. For love covers a multitude of sins, and then in parentheses, I like this, love covers a multitude of sins, forgives and disregards the offenses of others. Love forgives and disregards the offenses of others. The New Amplified Bible says it overlooks unkindness and unselfishly seeks the best for others. So if we're going to let love, we're going to make love our chief aim, and we're going to have intense, strong love for others, and we're going to let love cover a multitude of sin, then we're going to forgive and disregard the offenses committed against us, and amen, we're going to unselfishly seek the best for others. Well, if I'm seeking your best, then I'm not going to do anything to hurt you. Amen? And of course, when Peter quotes that, he's partially quoting Proverbs 10:12 that says, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. Hatred stirs up strife. Now, first of you always say, well, I don't hate anybody, you know, like I hate their guts. But you have to understand the Hebrew word hatred there means if you're just mad at somebody, just upset with somebody, offended, you know, upset with what they did. You have hard feelings toward them, ill will toward them. You have a grudge against them. If you're angry with them, then it says love covers. Covers is a metaphor for forgives. Love forgives. Love covers. Love forgives all sins. And sins there means sins that are committed against you. And so some translations, and Hebrew scholars say a good translation of that would be, love forgives or covers all offenses. See, being mad at somebody, hatred, being angry at somebody, being upset with somebody, having hard feelings towards somebody, that leads to all kinds of strife. But love forgives all offenses. Can you say amen? Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So love is of major importance. Say that. Say love is of major importance.
Love is of major importance.
Amen. It forgives and overlooks the offenses of others. And it seeks the best for others. It treats others the right way and doesn't want them and doesn't want to do them wrong in any way whatsoever. Love doesn't want to hurt another person. Now, last week we talked a lot about forgiving others. And love, of course, does forgive others for the wrong they do. And it seems like you can never emphasize that enough. It seems like we can never talk enough about how important it is to forgive others. Because, you know, just in daily living, somebody can do you wrong in some kind of way and slap you. And like we always say, it hurts to get slapped. You know, to turn the other cheek, that means somebody hurt you. I mean, somebody did you dirty in some way. And so if we're not careful, we'll just get into some sort of resentment or hard feelings and so forth. And that works against us. And so we talked a lot about that, and we need to. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And that's right. But there is another side of the coin. I mean, we talk a lot in teaching on love, and others, when they teach on love, there's a whole lot of talk about they did you dirty, now you must forgive them. And like I said, that's right. But there is another side of the coin. The other side of the coin is we don't need to be the one doing others dirty. Walking in love is not just forgiving others. Walking in love means you don't do anything to harm another person. You don't receive offense. You don't take offense. But you're not the one causing offense or giving offense. You're giving offense if you're doing them wrong in some way or hurting them some way. And so we need not do that. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Jesus said in Matthew 7:12, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. And then in Luke's gospel, he put it this way. Luke 6:31, he put it this way. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. This, of course, is the golden rule. And we usually say it this way. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Do unto others. Treat other people the way that you would like to be treated. Can you say amen? Amen. Now, obviously, and here's where I really need for you to really pay attention and listen to the approach we're going to take. Obviously, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Obviously, you don't cheat other people, because you don't want people to cheat you, do you? But that's kind of obvious. Obviously, you don't want people to treat you unfairly. You don't want people to use you or abuse you or falsely accuse you or treat you unkindly and not be considerate to you and not help you and support you when they should. You don't want other people to spread rumors about you. You don't want other people to do you dirty in any way. So, amen, we should not do any of those things to others. Can you say amen? But that's obvious. I said that's obvious, isn't it? So let's take this approach. Here's where you need to listen. Because if you follow me, then you can understand what I'm saying. I want to give you... And I have more, but I only have time for these. I want to give you four principles that will help you treat other people the right way. You with me? Four principles or tips, whatever you want to call it, four principles that will help you treat others the wrong way. You know, sometimes people know they should treat others the way they want to be treated. They know they should walk in love to other people, but then they find themselves not doing it. You know, any serious Christian wants to obey God, don't they? Got any serious Christians in here? Anybody that truly loves God and is walking in the light wants to walk in love and wants to do the right things. But sometimes, you know, we all make mistakes. I understand that. But sometimes people continually make mistakes. You know, why? Because sometimes there's an underlying issue in people's lives, in their hearts, you could say, that causes them to stumble and fail and mistreat people. Are you with me? I said, sometimes there's an underlying principle. In other words, if somebody has a temper and they don't control their temper, as the Word of God tells them to do, then even though they should walk in, if you got a bad temper, you're going to find yourself mistreating people on a regular basis. So that's one of those underlying issues. You understand? And that really leads me to point number one. Point number one, principles that will help you treat people the right way. And before I give you these four, let me say this. I am going to give you a lot of scriptures. We are not going to turn to those scriptures, because if we turn to all those scriptures, we'd be here a lot longer than you'd want to be here. So, I'd rather look at the scriptures and you put your eyes on the scripture, but for time's sake, I'm just going to quote scriptures to you. Two things about this. Number one, the scriptures I'm going to give you are not at all exhaustive. In other words, I'll give you a few scriptures that have to do with our particular point, but there are many, many other scriptures that you could find about this same topic. You with me? And then number two, I encourage you to do this. Write these scriptures down. Write them down so that when you get back to your home, whether it's this afternoon or tomorrow or sometime this week, read these scriptures, go over them, and meditate them all for yourself. Can you say amen? So number one, amen, principles that will help you treat people the right way, underlying principles that sometimes cause people to mistreat other people. Amen. Number one is don't be ill-tempered or have an angry disposition. You okay? Don't be ill-tempered and have an angry disposition. 1 Corinthians 13:5 says, love is not, this 1 Corinthians 13:5 is not easily angered or provoked. Love is not easily provoked. The Amplified Bible says, and I like this, it says, love is not touchy or, for that phrase, love is not easily provoked. The Amplified Bible says, love is not touchy or fretful. Fretful here means irritable. I didn't know that years and years and years ago, because I read the Amplified Bible a lot, and I liked its, 1 Corinthians 13:4-8, meditating in those scriptures, quoting those scriptures. I'd read that, the Amplified. Love is not touchy. Love is not fretful. I think of fretful as being worried about something. But then one day I looked up the word fretful, and one of the words for fretful means it's not irritable. Dictionary, and that's what the Amplified Bible has in mind. So love is not touchy, it's not irritable, and it's not resentful. And many scriptures, you probably can't think of the last time you heard some minister preach on anger, but the Bible talks a lot about anger. And anger causes a world of problems in people's lives. Sometimes people come for help. They think they're demonically possessed because of some sexual lust or because of this problem. But one of the main reasons people come and ask you for deliverance is because they have such a problem with anger. That's amazing, isn't it? See, anger. And so, if we are irritable and angry and touchy, and if we're any of those things, that'll manifest. It might manifest with explosive temper, but it's not always explosive. Sometimes it's just a smoldering resentment. what we call in the last few years being passive aggressive, but it's all bottom line. It's anger. It's irritability. It's a wrong spirit. But love is not ill-tempered. Love is not touchy. It doesn't strike out in anger to hurt others. See, if you have an angry disposition, you'll find yourself striking out in anger to hurt others. In other words, to offend them or to mistreat them in some way. But love doesn't do that. Can you say amen? It's interesting, the word touchy. Touchy. Kind of know what that means, don't you? Don't touch me. But if you look it up in the dictionary, it means to be overly sensitive. It means to be easily upset and tending to take offense for little or no cause. People that are touchy get offended for no cause whatsoever, other than the fact that they are touchy. Amen. Or they're easily offended. Amen. People who are touchy are quick to receive offense. In other words, they think somebody did them wrong, and in reality, maybe the other person didn't even do them any wrong at all, but because they're so ill-tempered and touchy that they're quick to take offense, and so they react in anger, and they end up doing something and saying something that hurts the other person, which is really, here's somebody, they're thinking, I got to forgive them because of the way they treat me, but they didn't treat them wrong at all. And in fact, they're the ones, the other person's innocent. The other person's right before God. The other person's walking in the light. But this person that is angry, who now and in turn is mistreating that person, they're the one that's wrong before God. Interesting thought, isn't it? Ephesians 4:31 says, let all wrath and anger be put away from you. Proverbs 16:32 says, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. Amen. If we don't rule over our temper, it will rule over us and cause us many problems. So if you want a principle to help you to treat other people the right way, then don't be grumpy, don't be ill-tempered, don't be hot-tempered, don't be irritable, and don't be touchy. Can you say amen? Number two, be secure in who you are in Christ. Be secure in who you are in Christ. Christians sometimes act like they're unloved and unwanted and rejected, and like everybody's out to get them, and like everybody's out to, everybody's out there coming against me. And they're in security, and that's what it is. Christians ought to be the most secure people on the face of the earth. But you see, if a Christian is insecure, then their insecurity will cause them to have irrational thoughts and fears. I use this example sometimes. You know, you go to Neyland Stadium under normal conditions, and there's over 100,000 people in the stadium. And here's one little person sitting up there in that crowd of 130, and the quarterback calls everybody together, and they huddle up, you know, because he's going to give them the next play. And she punches her friend and says, "Look, they're down there talking about me." People are sometimes incredibly insecure. But Christians need not be insecure. Can you say amen? I said ever. Why? Well, here's some scriptures. John 1:12 says, we are children of God. Romans 8:35 says, nothing. Everybody say nothing. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Aren't you glad about that? Amen. Romans 8 says, we are free from all condemnation. There is therefore now there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. And Ephesians 1:6 says, we are accepted in the beloved. B is capitalized, so the beloved there means Jesus. We are accepted. Say, I'm accepted. In Christ. If you're accepted, then you are not rejected. One translation just simply says, I belong, or we belong. We belong. We ought to be secure. Glory to God. We're not rejected. I don't care what the devil says or anybody else says. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Amen. And so, like I said, though insecure people, they have irrational thoughts and fears. And you know, I'm not putting them down. I'm just saying sometimes we all act insecure and we just need to grow up and mature and develop a little bit. And you can just imagine all kinds of things, all sorts of things that are not true. And you can imagine that somebody is mistreating you. And because you imagine that they're mistreating you, and because you're insecure and touchy, and going back to point number one, then you react and you mistreat them. When they didn't do you any harm, but you're the one doing them harm. You don't need to forgive them. They need to forgive you. Wow, that's an awesome thought, isn't it? Are you listening? Amen. I remember Brother Hagin told a story one time. He said he was at the back of the church. You know, the service was over. He's at the back of the church, and a lady's back there, and she's half crying, and she's frustrated, and she's upset. She's a little bit mad, and she says some things about some people that are not true. Well, that's not treating people the way you want to be treated, is it? And he said, what's the matter, sister? What's the matter? And she said, well, you see them ladies up front there, a couple of ladies, two or three ladies standing around? She said, they're up there talking about me, saying things about me they shouldn't be saying. He says, well, wait a minute, sister, wait just a minute. So he said, I went up to the front and just stood by him and eavesdropped. He says, obviously they've been talking about the same subject for some time now, for the last 10 minutes. And she said, they're talking about something that doesn't have anything in the world to do with this lady. I mean, it's a million miles from this lady. But she's back there just imagining, because of her own insecurities and touchiness, that they're up there mistreating her. But in reality, she's the one that's doing them wrong, because she's accusing them of something that they didn't do. She's the one that needs forgiveness, not them. You might as well say amen. It's not going to get any better. This is the message this morning. I had a good friend. Now, this was no great offense or something, and he wasn't greatly offended. But just by way of example, I had this good friend. And this was back when caller ID first came out. You know, you could tell who was calling you. So, you know, you're even now, you know, sometimes I keep my phone with me 95% of the time, do everything but sleep. Well, it's right beside my bed. But every once in a while, I'll see a call, and I say, I missed a call. Well, you know who called you. I'm getting these sometimes now that say, scam likely. Boy, I'm not returning those calls. Want to call up and say, may I speak to Mr. Likely, please? Anyway, this caller ID first call came out, and he called me three or four times, and I didn't call him back. Well, now, he's telling the testimony. Now, this is no great sin, and this is a good quality person, but he's laughing about it later and admitting. He said, boy, I was mad at you. He said, I'm ticked off at you. I'm going, well, he sees that I called him. We're supposed to be friends. We're supposed to be good. He sees that I'm calling me, and he's not calling me back. And he's just mad about it. Admitted to me. He said, I was pretty mad at you. I probably saw him in between the time he discovered what was going on, and he gave me the cold shoulder a little bit or something. Well, that's mistreating me, isn't it? Well, the whole time, come to find out, he was calling the wrong number. So I, in this case, am totally innocent. Am I totally innocent? I mean, I don't know he's calling me. But now he's, in essence, you know, mad with me. Amen. Glory to God. And sometimes, you know, maybe if I say it enough ways, you'll get it. Sometimes people are puffed up and they're mad at somebody else, but it's just because they're insecure or touchy or ill-tempered. And then they go out and talk bad about the person that in essence did them no harm. Amen. So let's not be insecure in our relationships with others. Can you say amen? Number three. Don't ever. Everybody say ever.
Ever.
Don't ever. Say ever.
Ever.
As years have gone by, it has shocked me at times just in out messing around with friends, how you would see this play out in the light of the Scriptures, in the light of the love of God in our hearts, in the light of what Jesus has done for all of us. Don't ever, everybody say ever,
ever,
discriminate against anybody or show respect of persons. Don't treat people differently because of their race, because of their social status, or rank, or importance, or age, or class, or gender, or on and on and on and on and on. I said amen.
Amen.
Romans 12:11 says, for there is no respect of persons with God. There is no respect of persons with God. You know, Brother Keith Moore was praying lately, and he said the Lord said something that shocked me a little bit. He says, because I'm praying about all this political atmosphere stuff, he said, the Lord said to him, the Lord said, I'm not a Democrat, I'm not a Republican, and I'm not an American. Did you know God's not an American? He loves America. He cares about America. But he's not just an American. Jesus died for the whole world. I was in the Philippines one time. Now, you know, you wouldn't think of that as being prejudiced or discriminating or whatever, but it bothered me. You know, these Filipino pastors that we were around, most of them were kind of small in stature, you know. But some of them were much older than us. They were kind of, and so some of the pastors just kind of treated them like they were little kids or something, didn't show them with much respect at all. And I thought, what is the matter with you? They pastor a church three times as big as one you do. But because you're overseas and they live in the Philippines, not America, because they seem small in stature, and whatever, you're just treating them like they're unimportant. I had to not be ill-tempered. Amen. You know, the Bible does say, let not the wrath go down on amen. Be angry and sin not. There is no respect of persons with God, Romans 12:11. The Amplified Bible says, for God shows no partiality, undue favor, unfairness. With him, one man is not different from another. I don't care what color their skin is. One man is not different from another. The Living Bible says God treats everyone the same. Galatians 3:28 says there is neither, other translation says there's no distinction, there's neither or no distinction between Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free, there is not male or female, for you are all one in Christ. Colossians 3:11 says, there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision. The Amplified says, no difference between nations, but Christ is all in all. And then James 2:1 in the Amplified Bible says, show no prejudice or partiality. The New King James or the King James says, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus and then show favoritism. In other words, don't act like you're operating in the faith of Jesus. Don't pretend like you're acting like a Christian. Or since you have faith in Christ, don't show favoritism. The UBS Word Study says, my dear fellow Christians, since or because you believe in Jesus, you must never treat people differently according to their outward appearance. The Living Bible says, how can you claim to have faith in a glorious Lord Jesus Christ if you favor some people over others? And this has, as you know, just tremendous ramifications. You know, don't talk down to people because they're young. Don't mistreat people because they're older. Certainly don't treat people differently because their skin is a different color than yours. How stupid, how absurd. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, and we should treat everybody with dignity, and we should treat everybody with respect, and we should love everybody. I promise you, if you've got a prejudice, or if you discriminate, or you show favoritism against some class of people or some group, you will mistreat them in some way. And love wouldn't do that. Amen. James goes on to say in that very same chapter, he says, listen, if you treat rich people one way and you prefer them above others and you slight poor people, then you're not walking in love. You're violating the royal law, love your neighbor as yourself. And terrible, terrible atrocities and injustice and wrong treatment has occurred to poor people, to women, to different races, to children, to older people, and on and on and on because of the sin of discrimination and respect of persons. Don't shout me down now because I'm preaching real good. We should treat everybody with dignity and respect. Even, you know, I was a young policeman going way, way back. I mean, this goes all the way back to 1974, 75. And, you know, I always tried to, even if I was arresting somebody for DUI, you know, and they're just drunk as they could be, I tried to treat them with respect and dignity. That could have been my uncle. All my uncles drank. I mean, they were all borderline. I don't know, they might have crossed over the line. They were all borderline alcoholics. And I thought, well, if one of them was to get pulled over and one of their, I don't know if they ever did or not, you know. My dad was like, my dad drank. At times in his life, he was borderline, you know, maybe. I said, well, I'm going to treat this person with dignity and respect, even though, you know, I'm arresting them. Amen. We should treat everyone with dignity and respect. I'll say it again, if we're prejudiced against some group or some class, I think class distinction and class prejudice has caused more harm than anything, no matter what color you are. I mean, the lower classes and, you know, poor class, people have been, they haven't got the justice as other people at times, haven't been treated fairly at times. But if we're prejudiced against some group or some class or some type of people under them, we will mistreat them and we will not obey the golden rule and we'll not walk in love. Can you say amen? And in our day and age, you know, now we're not gonna, you know, just because you call something sin doesn't mean you're mistreating somebody. Okay? Amen. I think there's men that always mistreat women. I think there's women that don't like men. But now when people come along and they try to say there's something else than a man or a woman, I'm gonna, you know, treat them with dignity and I'm gonna treat them with respect, but I'm not gonna say that. You know, that's not the same as prejudice against some race or something. No, that's sinful living. And we're going to call it like it is, with all the tenderness and kindness we can muster up. But it doesn't matter how much tenderness and kindness we muster up. If we say anything against the LGBTQ movement, they're going to scream, jump up and holler, and scream. We're bigoted and racist and wrong and on and on and on and on and on. But the Word of God never changes. Amen. So that's wrong, just like lying's wrong. Just like stealing's wrong, just like cheating's wrong, just like adultery's wrong, just like fornication, it's wrong. Amen. That has nothing to do with you know. But we're still going to treat people with respect. Can you say amen? Amen? Amen. Number four, always consider how your actions will affect others. Always consider how your actions will affect others. Stay with me now. This is very subtle. If we don't do that, we may mistreat others in some way and not even realize why we're doing it. 1 John 3:16 says, as Jesus laid down His life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren, or we ought to lay down our lives for others. Well, you know, you don't have to physically die for others, probably. But you know, what does that mean to lay down your life for others? That means that you have their best interest at heart. That means that you're willing to make sacrifices for others. That means that you're willing to do some things that you'd rather not do, but because you love somebody else, you're going to make that sacrifice and that commitment. Amen. I said, amen. Many people, see, just take this attitude. They say, I'm just doing what's best for me. I'm just doing best for my family. I mean, I'm not trying to hurt anybody else. The reason they're saying that is because they know what they're doing is going to cause other people problems. In other words, if you live in a neighborhood and you say, well, I'm just going to do this in my yard. I'm going to do this. I'm not. It's just me. This is my family. But if what you do hurts the rest of the neighborhood, then are you not mistreating them? Oh, no, I'm just doing what's best for me and mine. But if what you're doing for you doesn't consider the other person and it hurts the other person in some way, then you shouldn't do it. I'll be able to tell you, you shouldn't do it. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. I said, if what we're doing is going to hurt or damage another person, we shouldn't do it. Romans 15:1 says, we who are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. 1 Corinthians 10:24 says, let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. Now, if you know your scriptures, you know that Paul is talking about an issue they had in their day of whether you should eat meat or not eat meat. And Paul says, I know there's nothing absolutely wrong with any kind of meat. It doesn't bother me in the least to eat it. But that's not what he does. He didn't say, you people are stupid. He goes, but if I'm around you and it's going to offend you and cause you to stumble and cause you to think I'm doing the wrong thing, because of you, I'm not going to do it. I consider my actions, and if my actions are gonna hurt your faith or cause you to stumble or fail, I won't do it. See, that's what real love does. Philippians 2:4 says, Let each one of you look out not only for his own interest, but for the interest of others. We're to look out for the interest of others. 1 Corinthians 13:5 says, love is not selfish, is not self-seeking. One translation just simply says, it's not me first. Me first. Amen. Brother Hagin always said this. I really like it. He said, always ask yourself the question, how will my actions affect the other person? Well, I'm just doing this because this is what my family needs. This is what's best for my family. Yeah, but by doing that, you're going to cause everybody else problems. You're going to cause that church problem. You're going to cause other people problems. If it affects others adversely, then you shouldn't do it. So he said, and I think that's good advice, always ask yourself the question, how will my actions affect others? And if it's going to adversely affect them, then don't do it. And really, really, very few people live this way, but love does. I said, love does. Amen. And if we don't live this way, if we don't consider others, if we don't, you know, If we're selfish, if we don't put them first and consider their interests as well as our interests, we'll end up treating others in ways that we don't want to be treated. Well, I just wanted to dig this hole in my yard and make myself. Yeah, but you're flooding my property. Well, I ain't got anything to do with it. I'm just doing what's best for me. No, if you're going to do something that hurts me, then I'm not going to do it. If I'm going to do something that hurts you, then I'm not going to do it. Are you out there or are you gone home? Glory to God. Say, I'm out here and I want to go home. Well, you got about 5 minutes, so hang in there. Well, so these four things. I'm sure you could think of a lot of other things. I think of things we don't have time for, you know. Sometimes you just need to realize the pressure that somebody else is under. Sometimes people do things and say things, but they're just under a lot, and you even know they're under a lot of pressure. You need to take that into account before you react to them. And this takes a high level of love, but we always need to see things from the other person's perspective. We can stand here and give 1,000 reasons why we're right about something, but if we'll just open up our hearts and be tender-hearted, Ephesians 4, where it talks about love one another, be compassionate, be loving, be forgiving. It says be tender-hearted. I think that's Ephesians 4:31-32. If we're tenderhearted, they'll say, well, now, let me just look at it from their perspective. Let me walk a mile in their shoes. And if you're honest to do that, sometimes you can begin to say, well, I see where they're coming from. I understand where they're coming from. And that'll help you. I said that'll help you. But these four things, I'm sure you can think of many, many more. But these four will help us not to mistreat people, not to have these underlying issues that just kind of, you know, are the root problem of why we're acting the way we act. These four things will help us not to mistreat people, not to violate the golden rule, and to walk in love. And as we walk and live in line with the Word of God, because the Word of God talks about all these things. Really, just 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8 will keep you from violating any of these principles. That's the great love chapter, you know. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. So as we walk and live in line with God's Word, we'll treat others the right way. We'll do them no harm, because love does no harm to anybody. And love is the commandment of the New Testament. If you keep this commandment, you don't have to worry about any of the rest of them. If you keep this commandment, you'll never do anything that hurts another person. Amen? And love is the commandment for the New Testament Christian. Can you say amen? Amen. Glory to God. Let's stand together. I was thinking about that. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. If you're having marriage problems, you can just do what 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8 says. And if both parties do it, that marriage will be wonderful. It'll never go to the divorce court. Amen? And so all of us need to spend time in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 14 through 8. You know, the Bible says the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Say that. Say, the love of God, is in me. It's been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. So if I crucify the flesh and walk in love, I make this confession with me. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Then I'll endure long and be patient with people and be kind. I'm never envious. I don't boil over with jealousy. I'm not boastful or vainglorious. I do not display myself haughtily. I'm not inflated with pride. I'm not rude. I'm not rude. I'm not rude. I do not act unbecomingly. I do not insist on my own rights or my own way. I'm not self-seeking. It's not me first. I consider others and how my actions are going to affect them. I'm not touchy. I'm not touchy. I'm not touchy. I'm not irritable or resentful. I take no account of the evil done to me. I pay no attention to a suffered wrong. And I'm ever ready to believe the I'm ever ready to believe the best. Not the worst, the best. Not the worst, the best. I'm ever ready to believe the best. And even when I can't, I still love them. And I endure them. And love never comes to an end. Never fails. In Jesus' name. Oh, can you praise and thank God about that for a second. Praise God. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and worship God a second. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Would you bow your heads and close your eyes just for a second, please, where you're standing there? Glory to God. Hallelujah. If you have any sort of thank you, Jesus. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please. If you've showed any sort of favoritism or been against any class of people or race of people or type of people, hear the Spirit of God saying, it's time not to ignore that. It's time to deal with that. I've dealt with you about this for many years. And in past years, some of you have made some adjustments in that area, but then you forgot about it and slipped back into error. But get rid of that. That's what the Lord's really trying to get. Get rid of that. 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 Glory to God in the name of Jesus. It can be a simple thing. You can look at me. Keep letting the Lord deal with you. You know, I had a guy with me. He just was always jabbing me about my age. You know, and it wasn't a terrible, wicked thing, but it was always like, I'm better, smarter, wiser than you because I'm older than you. And, you know, he did that to me when I was, because he's like 12, 13 years older than me. And so when I was 30, I'm just young and dumb and stupid. But he's highly intelligent. Well, when I turned 43, you know, that's the age he was when he was, I was still young because he's still older than me. I saw him recently. I'm almost 68 years old, you know. But he's still older than me, so I'm still just young and dumb and stupid. Not a major thing. And I'm not offended. A little bit. I know this isn't a shouting message, but this is good for us. I said, this is good for us. This will help us. It'll help us in all our relationships. Glory to God. Praise you, Father. Just say it one more time. Say, I will not take offense. And I will not do anything that offends other people. Because I'm walking in love. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. We love you so much. Glory to God. No matter how skinny you are, no matter how tall you are, we treat everybody the same. Say, I treat everybody the same. With dignity and respect. In Jesus' name. God bless you. You're dismissed. Thank you, Lord Jesus.